And he heard a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Amen. And when John saw him walking up the road, he said to the crowd before him, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Amen. He is the one that should come. And he said, "I am not worthy to unloose the shoes off of his feet. I indeed baptize you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." And when John heard that, John, that is, the son of Zebedee, he left John the Baptist to follow Jesus. And John, the son of Zebedee, became John the Apostle. Hallelujah. And he followed Jesus in his earthly ministry. He pastored churches throughout Asia Minor. He became the great John the Apostle. And when we encounter him today, he is a prisoner in a place called Patmos. Amen. He's been ostracized, and he's been put on that solid rock in the Aegean Sea. And as he's there surrounded by those pristine waters, he said, but in the, it was, I goes in the spirit, he said, on the Lord's day. Hallelujah. He said, when it got church time, I got in the Holy Ghost. And I started praying and worshiping God. And he began, he said that the Lord appeared unto him. And he said, John, he said, pick up your pen and write. Hallelujah. And that's why we have the revelation today. Amen. But I want to share with you just a little portion. Verse number 1 of chapter 4. He said, and I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. Everybody said, a door was open in heaven. Amen. He said, and I started seeing some things in heaven. He said, I saw the throne. And he said, and there was one that sat on the throne. Hallelujah. And there was one that sat on the throne. And he saw the angelic host that were innumerable. And he saw the 24 elders are represented of all of the redeemed. And he said, and I saw the cherubim. And in the book of Isaiah, we see those same cherubim. And they're saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. And the whole earth is full of his glory. And he said, I saw them again. And they're singing a little bit different song. They are singing, holy, holy, holy is he that was slain, and that is, and that is to come, the Lord Almighty. Hallelujah. Praise God. But he's still holy. But he's still holy. But he's still holy. And he's still worthy. And he's the God of glory. And John said, I saw all of that. He said, I watched those 24 elders as they took the crowns off of their head that they had worked a lifetime to achieve. And they took those crowns and they cast them at the feet of the one that sat on the throne. And there's praise and there's singing. Amen. And the heavens are full of the glory and the majesty of the one that sat on the throne. And then chapter 5, he said, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book. And said it was sealed with 7 seals. He said it had writing on the inside and it had writing on the outside, and it was all sealed up. Now you got to remember, when he talks about a book, he's not talking about a codex like we have here today. In Bible times, they had scrolls. Remember seeing scrolls? And they would roll it up. And in order to read it, you had to roll it out. Now, wouldn't it be something if everybody here had a scroll under your arm when you come to church this morning? And we said, turn to Revelation 5. Can you imagine the racket of everybody's unrolling the scroll? Amen. And hang on, Brother Grissom, and another 45 minutes we'll be there. And aren't you glad somebody decided to cut it up and put it in the form of a book? And put some numbers on the pages and some chapters and some verses so that you could find out what I'm talking about. Amen. But in Bible times, and what John saw and all John knew was a scroll. They didn't know anything about books like we have today. And so he saw a scroll, and he said, and it was written on, and then they'd roll it up and they'd seal that part. And then they'd roll it up a little bit further and they'd put some wax and they'd seal it again. And they'd roll it up a little bit more, and they'd put some wax, and they'd seal it again. And they did that 7 times. And it was all sealed up. Now, what in the world is that book? There's several books in the Bible, but there's one in the hand of God. And we get the picture here today that this book is a special book. It is so special that they're looking for somebody, he said, that's worthy to open the book. Not everybody's worthy. As a matter of fact, they looked at all the angels of heaven and they said, there's not an angel that's worthy. Michael's not worthy. Gabriel's not worthy. There's not an angel in heaven that's worthy. And they looked on the earth and they couldn't find not one man. Peter wasn't worthy. Paul wasn't worthy. John wasn't worthy. There wasn't a man on the earth, no matter how good, there wasn't any human being that was worthy to open the book. And they even went into hell, and they sure couldn't find anybody worthy there. He said, we can't find anybody that's worthy to open the book. And John, the Bible said, he started crying with strong cryings and started weeping. Because there wasn't anybody that was worthy to open the book. What is the book? It's a book of redemption. You see, when God gives an inheritance, he intends it to be forever. God's a forever God. He's not into the moment. He's into eternity. He doesn't love you for a moment. He loves you for eternity. He doesn't save you for a day. He saves you for eternity. We're into self-gratification. I got to have it, and I got to have it now. But God's into eternity. Amen. And when he created us, he made us eternal beings. Amen. And he has an eternal plan for my life. And he has an eternal plan for your life. Everybody here today, God has a plan for you that extends far beyond the grave. It's more than your little number of years that you'll spend on the earth. God has a plan for you that stretches past time and throughout eternity. Amen. And when God gave the land to Israel, remember, he said, I give it to your family. And it's going to stay in your family for perpetual generations. You're not supposed to ever get rid of this land. It'll always be your land. And if you get in trouble and you can't pay for it, you can sell it for a little while. But in the year of Jubilee, on the 50th year, it's all going to go back to the original owners. Because God said it's a perpetual thing. And so if somebody got in trouble and they couldn't keep their land, They would write it down on the scroll, their troubles, and say, now this is why. We've got to sell it and sell ourselves, and we'll serve our brethren for a few years. But in the 50th year, it's going to come back to my father's house. But they'd write it all down. And then on the outside, the other side, they would write who could claim it if somebody could redeem the land. But he had to be near kinsman. He had to be willing. He had to be able. That's what the book of Ruth's all about. I don't have time to preach that part of it, but that's what it's all about. It's about somebody that was worthy to redeem. But the book that's in the hand of God is the redemption not only just of humanity, but of all creation. I want you to know when man sinned, it affected the heavens. When man sinned, it affected the earth. We're not going to stop global warming and all the problems we got on the earth by cutting out some carbon. It's not going to be healed until the Son of Man comes, when the Redeemer comes, when the book is opened. Hallelujah. Then he's going to heal the earth, and he's going to heal the heavens, and he's going to restore everything. It's in his book. And that's why they're weeping, because the answer's in the book, but nobody's worthy to open the book. That's the problem. And they're weeping because there's the answer. It's all there, but nobody can open it. And all of that, I love this. All of a sudden, I want you to notice what it says, verse number 5. It said, in one of the elders. Everybody say, one of the elders. not one of the angels, but one of the elders. Somebody that knew what it was like to be redeemed. Somebody that knew what it was like to be a sinner that was forgiven and a life that had been changed. Somebody that knew what it was like to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and wash away his sins in the name of Jesus Christ. It was an elder. If anybody's going to tell you about Jesus, it won't be an angel. It'll be a man. It'll be an elder. Hallelujah. It'll be somebody that's had this experience before. It'll be one of the redeemed. If anybody's going to preach this gospel, it's got to be you and me. If anybody's going to tell this world and tell this city, it's got to be you and me. If anybody's going to tell your neighbor, if anybody's going to tell your family, it's going to be you and it's going to be me. We are commissioned with this gospel to reach this world. And so it's the elder. And he calls out to John. And he says, "Hey, John." He says, "Don't cry. Weep not." He said, "Because we found somebody that's worthy." And he says, "Look at him." He said, "He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah." Familiar with prophecy. You go back to the book of Genesis, way back at the beginning, when Israel or Jacob is blessing his sons, and he lays his hands on Judah's head, and he begins to talk about the lion that's going to come out of the tribe of Judah. Amen. And he's going to be the Redeemer. And he's going to be the Savior. He's going to be the Messiah. He's the one that's promised, the one that we're looking for. And he said, he's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And he said, he's the root of David. Amen. He didn't say he's the branch of David. He said he's the root of David. In other places he may be called the branch, but here he's the root. Amen. The branch is good because it's tied to the tree, and it's tied and it produces fruit. And he said, but he's the not only the branch of David, but he's the root of David. He's where David came from. He preceded David. Amen. David came out of him. Hallelujah. I'm telling you today. I'm telling you who Jesus is. Amen. And when Jesus asked the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, he said, "Who's greater, David or David's son?" They said, "Of course David is." He said, "Then why David say to his son that he's his Lord? Why did he call him Lord? Why did he call him Master? Why did he call him Jehovah?" Hallelujah. And they couldn't answer that question. But you and I know the answer to that question. Hallelujah. Amen. He was kin to David by the flesh of Mary, but he was kin to heaven by the Spirit of God that birthed him. Amen. God was manifest in flesh. God came down and put on a physical body to be like you and me. He's the root of David. Amen. Why David? Why not Abraham? Abraham's a promise. Moses is about the law. Elijah's about the prophet. But David's about the kingship. And Jesus Christ is King of kings. And he's Lord of lords. Hallelujah. And John said, "Woo!" He said, "The lion's here." He said, "The root of David's here." And he turned around, and what did he see? He saw a lamb. You know, if somebody wanted to call me something and compliment me, probably call me a lamb would be one of the furthest things from my mind. "Oh, that Brother Grissom, he's such a lamb." Eagle, I like that. Lion, that's all right. Not liar, lion. But lamb? Not only did he say he saw a lamb, but he said he saw a lamb that had been slain. He had wounds. Amen. I want you to know something. Here on the earth, people are proud of their possessions. and they're proud of their intellect, and they're proud of their position, and they're proud of their accomplishments. And there's all kind of accolades that are given to human beings. But I'm going to tell you, in heaven, you're going to be proud of your scars. And a man that goes to heaven without scars is hardly going to be a man at all. Every time you get a paper cut, he's there because he was slain. And the Bible said, of the cross, the Bible said that he endured the cross. Everybody say endure. He didn't enjoy, he endured. There are some things that you endure. He said, for the joy that was set before him. He had his eye on the prize, not on the suffering, not on the shame, not on the pain, but on the prize. Amen. I've got to go through this. But when I get through this, I'm going to gain eternal life. Not only for myself, but for all, amen, that are called by my name. That all that are filled with my spirit. I will endure this. I'll become the first fruits of the resurrection. But to get there, I've got to go through this. And he endured. Hallelujah. He went through it. Everybody say, through it. Amen. The grave couldn't hold him. Hallelujah. Amen. So there he stands. And John turns around. And he said, I never saw a lamb like this one. Woo! He said, I see his scars. But what's that on his head? He said, there's seven horns. And those horns are representative of power. That's saying this lamb is not like any lamb I've ever seen. He is omnipotent. He has all power. It's the one that said after his resurrection, all power in heaven and in earth is given unto me. And he said, I never saw a lamb like this. Man, he don't have two eyes. He's got seven eyes. Seven eyes are omniscience. Amen. He sees everything. And he knows all. Hallelujah. Hey, I'm talking about God manifest in flesh. The Lamb of God resurrected. Amen. And I want you to know that he's standing. He's not laying down. He's not sitting down. He's standing because it's not finished yet. But when it gets finished, he'll sit down. Amen. But until that book's open, there's still some things to be done. And the Bible said, going a little bit further here, he said, and he turned and he sees the Lamb, and he came, and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. Woo! Everybody said he took the book. Hallelujah. He was worthy. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials of odors, which are prayers. Amen. When you get to heaven, you can take two things with you. You can take praise and you can take prayer. Amen. I said you can take your praise and you can take your prayer. Amen. Let's work on our priorities a little bit. You can't take your bank account with you. And you take your house with you. And you can't take your car with you. And you can't take your closet with you. Amen. And you can't take your degrees with you. And none of that's going to matter when you get there. But you can take your prayers with you. And you can take your praise with you. So that ought to tell us a little bit about how we ought to be spending our time. Amen. Hallelujah. They've got the prayer. And they've got the praise. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's what you're going to be using in heaven. You're going to be using your prayer. And you're going to be using your praise. Amen. If I was you, I'd be at choir practice tonight because there's going to be a whole lot of singing in heaven. And you might as well get ready now. Amen. Get your vocalizer all tuned up and ready, because you're going to be using it on the other side. Amen. Hallelujah. It's like the fella, he was getting ready to have heart surgery. And he asked the doctor, he said, well, doc, when I get through with this, and he said, will I be able to play golf? And the doctor said, of course. He said, but I never could before. So if you can't sing now, don't worry about it. When you get over there, you're going to be able to sing. Hallelujah. Amen. You're going to sing the song of the redeemed. And I just got a feeling God hears music a little differently than we do anyway. Amen. God, he listens to motive. Why are you singing? Because it's pretty, or because you're really going to sing? Amen. And so the Bible said that he takes the book, and all of heaven burst out into praise and to a song. And I want you to listen a little bit to the song they're singing here. It says that they sung a new song. A new song. And they didn't have a song book, and it wasn't an off-the-wall song. They didn't have to read what the projector projected, and thank God for the projector. Amen. But they didn't have to have that. It was a new song. It was right in their spirit. A story Brother Sism tells about in India, when they changed the leadership from missionary to the national leadership, and they elected the national board, and they were on the platform, and there were thousands of people that were there, and all of a sudden they started singing this beautiful song. And Brother Sism, his face lights up, and he turns around to Brother Urshan, and he said, Brother Urshan, do you know what's happening here? He said, no, sir, I don't understand. Brother Sism knew Urdu. He knew the language, and of course, he also knew English. And he said, all these people are singing the same song, and they're singing it in tongues. What was God doing? He was establishing unity in the country. And so we gave everybody at the same time the same song and a language they didn't even know. If you can't believe that, your God's too little. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so they began to sing song. When you get to heaven, God's going to give you a new song. Hallelujah. And this is going to be the words to it. We can start practicing now, I guess, if we can just get the tune. Amen. And the song said, thou art worthy to take the book. Not only to take the book, he said, but to open the seals thereof. You're qualified. You're the kinsman redeemer. You're the Goel. You can open the book because you're worthy. Amen. Now listen. And why is he worthy? It said because he was slain, and you have redeemed us to God by your blood. Out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Woo, hallelujah. I'm talking about the Lamb today. Behold, the Lamb. Amen. Not only did he redeem us with his blood, but it said he's made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Now that Bible talks about that verse as, and the meek shall inherit the earth. Amen. Praise God. The meek shall inherit the earth. One of these days, you know what's going to happen? After the resurrection, amen, after the rapture of the church, after we get home, amen, after this thing's been renovated by fire, amen, they're going to be kingdoms set up right here on the earth. Amen. And King John's going to be ruling one king. Amen. And King Raymond's going to be doing another one. Amen. And King Bobby's going to do another one. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to be around. King Brandon's going to have a king. Hello. I'm not sure if you think you really believe that. But it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. He said, you have made us to be kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Amen. It's going to happen. Amen. I've already put in for Texas. Don't know if I'm going to get it, but I put in for it. It don't really matter which one I get, but that's the one I'd like to have. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm saying the Lamb is worthy. Let's stand together. Thank you for your time and for your attention here today. Amen. There's one that can redeem. There's only one that can redeem. Amen. And he can do it because he was slain. He can do it because he became the sacrifice for us. Amen. He can do it because he gave his life and he shed his blood for you and for me. He's worthy. He's worthy. There's a lamb. There's a lamb. Beautiful song Ray Bolts wrote, sang. Brother Bacon did such a good job singing here. Easter. He said, watch the Lamb. Watch the Lamb. Brother Grissom, how can I make it through this trial? Watch the Lamb. I've never had to go anything through anything like this in my life. It's the hardest thing I've ever had to endure. How am I going to make it? Watch the Lamb. Paul put it this way, or the writer of Hebrews put it this way. He said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. There'll be times that much as your pastor wants to help, he won't have the word that'll do it. There'll be times as much as your parents want to help, I just won't be able to say what needs to be said. There'll be times as much as your friend will help you, they'll just not have the resources and they'll not be able to do what needs to be done. So in a time like that, you just look to Jesus. Look to the Lamb. Amen. That was slain. That walked where you walk. That went through the things that you go through. That understands you like no human being would ever understand you. You see, not only can he understand as a man, but as God, he can come and help. As God, he can give you the grace that you need to endure. Amen. He's able. He's able. I think it'd be good to just come and lift your eyes to the Lamb today. Lift your hand to the Lamb today. Look away from your troubles for a little bit. Look away from your worries for a little while. Look away from your struggles to the Savior. Amen. Let's just lift up our eyes. Lift up our hands. Lift up our voices. Lift up our faith. Amen. Let's just look to Jesus for just a little bit this morning.